This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to another amazing and yet lovely segment of 360 Biz. You're joining us today on Cliff Central, Bulelani Balabala. What you guys would normally know is me rolling with my co-host Tebogo Mafodi is out somewhere entrepreneuring, which brings us to the topic of today. I mean, we're just touching on some of the things that we spoke about last week, which are primarily focusing on, you know, some of the amazing work that some of the corporates and even the public sector is doing with regards to developing young entrepreneurs. I mean, we all know the statistics of how many businesses closed down. We all know the afflictions that are out there in terms of small businesses coming up and startups that are just failing out because of support out there. So, I mean, we've got amazing people in studio. We've got, I mean, the finance MEC for the Gauteng province in studio with us. We've got an amazing representative, a gentleman I particularly look up to. He doesn't know, but I particularly look up to this gentleman, and I love the work that they do. And we've got a lovely lady. You know, we've got a lovely lady who's just been patting herself the whole time she's been here, because I know she's got to maintain the beauty, but she looks very beautiful and amazing from Seaswear IT. I mean, you guys are joining us on 360 Biz, a platform, a show that has been created to give a platform to young entrepreneurs for opportunities for development and for growth. So, I mean, before I jump in with the lovely MEC who's got so much truth, I'd like, I mean, the guests to just introduce themselves. Who are you? What do you do?
Thank you very much for having us. My name is Kathu Ramkumba. I'm the Chief Executive Officer for the National Youth Development Agency.
Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon. My name is Barbara Creasy. I'm the MEC of Finance in the Gauteng Provincial Government, and I'm also responsible for our new Department of E-Government.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Lerato Ndlovu, and I look after communications at Seaswear IT Group.
So I want to throw you with a curveball, MEC, and it's very such an honor to have you in the room. What's your favorite color?
Orange.
Such a beautiful thing that you had that off the ground. So, MEC, tell us a bit about yourself. I know they never ever ask you these kind of questions, but we are totally uncensored, and we are totally unradio, so you can never be wrong. You can always be right, though. But tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is the MEC?
Well, I suppose I'm one of those very unpopular things. I'm a professional politician. I was elected to the Gauteng Provincial Legislature in 1994, which was a very long time ago. This is my third executive portfolio. Some of your listeners may know me as I used to be the MEC of Education. Before that, Sports, Arts and Culture. I'm a mother. I've got two grown up young adult children. Yeah.
Now, MEC, in terms of entrepreneurship in the city of, not necessarily the city, but the Gauteng province, are you seeing a buzz that is popping up in terms of young people coming up and wanting to develop the immediate economy, which is in Gauteng?
Well, I think we all know that young people face enormous economic challenges that we didn't face as youngsters. You know, when we were that age, the expectation was you went out and got a job. Now I think young people have to look at creating their own job. And that obviously poses enormous challenges because there are both financial and non-financial constraints. Yeah. From the point of view of the Gauteng Provincial Government, we are very passionate about a program that we call revitalizing the township economy. And I think that's really all about trying to find young people who do come from historically marginalized and disadvantaged communities and trying to support the development of their enterprises. My colleague in the Department of Economic Development would obviously be primarily responsible for that. But in the provincial treasury, one of the things that we have done is taken a decision that all government contracts under 500,000 need to go to township entrepreneurs. We've spent an amazing amount of time over the last year registering these enterprises to be on the government database. We've increased the number from just over 1,500 in January last year to almost 7,000 now that we have on the central procurement database. We are We're offering training and development. We're obviously also spending a lot of time looking at commodities that we can target for purchase from the township economy. But obviously, we also have other programs in government. One of the things our Premier Makura is very passionate about is Tsepo 500,000. That's a program to support young people to get into the workplace, but also to access learnerships and entrepreneurial opportunities. All provincial departments have to contribute to that effort. And in the Department of e-Government, we've got a number of programs where we are developing young entrepreneurs, we're giving people ICT training experience, we've also got internship programs. So what we're trying to do is make sure that those who come in through other programs also can land up working for the provincial government. So these are some of the things that we're trying to do to make it much easier for young people to get into the economic space.
Yeah. And MEC, just from your perspective and your opinion, I mean, how important is it for young people to jump into entrepreneurship as an alternative career choice?
I think that it's a very interesting career option, particularly for young people who are independent-minded and who want a challenge. I don't think entrepreneurship is for everybody. It's a tough choice. You've got to be prepared to encounter failure. You've got to be prepared to dust yourself off and try again. But I think that there are lots of young people who do have that kind of tenacity. And I think those are the kinds of people that we're looking for through in some of our programs. And that's why we want to try and do things like create a market for the commodities that they produce, as well as offer them training opportunities.
You know, just listening to, I mean, some of the things that you've mentioned, I mean, the TEPO 500,000, revitalizing the township, and it's particularly amazing because, I mean, I think that a lot of entrepreneurs out there, you know, go by the notion that large corporates or even the public sector doesn't even care about the township. I mean, when you count the numbers, when you're speaking about the numbers in terms of businesses that you guys have enrolled and gotten registered, and the fact that you guys offer them as preferential in the procurement system as being the ones who will get anything below 500,000. That's particularly amazing. But there's something that you said initially when you started unpacking some of the initiatives and programs that you guys ran. What is e-government?
Well, I think that we all know that there's an increasing tendency across our society for citizens to want to access services online. So if you want to pay your municipal services, you don't want to have to go to an office and queue. You want to pay online. Yeah. Similarly, if you want to apply to put your child in a school for next year, you don't want to have to go and stand in a queue at a school. You want to be able to apply online. So I think in response to that demand from citizens to receive government services in a more accessible way, we have had to address the question of how do we connect up all government institutions in provincial government, and it's about 3,500 of them, to a high-speed broadband network. How do we institute common applications and operating systems? And also, how do we test the applications that we would want to put online? Because I think one of the things we all know is that governments can easily become embarrassed if they launch a system and it crashes. Yeah. So we have set up this design and validation center in partnership with WITS University. That is where we're going to be testing our online applications. And it's also the place where we will be giving opportunities for young entrepreneurs who are part of some of the governmental and non-governmental entrepreneurial development initiatives to come in there to familiarize themselves with exciting equipment we have there, 3D printers, but also to offer them training in things like game development, applications development, and so on.
You know, just touching just touching on the township revitalization, and I mean, which is work that I know that Mr. Kato, you guys dab on a lot in terms of the different grant programs you guys have in developing young entrepreneurs. But you guys do so much work, really. I mean, CISWA IT, the Gauteng province, and the NYDA. Are you guys finding that the entrepreneurs that you assist and develop go out there and they actually make a change? Is the percentage much higher than the ones who actually go out there and do nothing about it?
Look, well, for us, we think that the journey is still long that needs to be traveled, especially if you take it in the context that South Africa is mainly a youthful nation and that will remain a youthful nation for many years to come. And if you look at, you know, the fact that the majority of those who are in the coal face of the triple challenges that are facing South Africa, those of unemployment, poverty and inequality, remains young people, there's a lot to be done. But we're beginning to see progress in some of the initiatives that we're doing, even though we're even though we are worried about the uptake by young people. So, for an example, we started the grant funding program as the agency 3 years ago. We have just concluded an evaluation of that grant funding program recently, which has indicated that of the businesses that we have funded 3 years ago, at least about 53% of them are still operating, they're sustainable, they've been able to create jobs. Comparatively speaking, you would know that generally the majority of businesses that get to be registered with the CIPC generally, about in fact, just under 80% of them do not make it even beyond 12 months. So we're beginning to see a change. But when I say we're not necessarily satisfied with the uptake, it's because if you take the situation of the high unemployment that we face in our country and the fact that we're a developing economy, like many other developing economies, the way to create jobs is through small and medium enterprises. We have also gone to the extent of entering into a tripartite relationship with the Small Enterprise Finance Agency as well as the Industrial Development Corporation, where we've set aside 2.7 billion rands for loan financing for youth owned enterprises. We've also gone out to convince these two institutions to make the fund user friendly to young people. For an example, in that fund, you don't need collateral or suretyship as long as the idea is good and we believe that it can be a sustainable business that can assist us to grow the economy, you will be funded. We have also gone out to say that in our experience, we have seen that the majority of businesses that gets to fail, they don't necessarily fail because they are bad ideas or they are badly run. What you also find is that is the burden of repayment of the loan. You get a loan today, 3 months later, you're expected to pay the first installment. You have not even broken even. You end up paying the loan from the loan itself. 12 months later, you're out of business. So we have gone to the extent of agreeing with these two partners that these youth-owned enterprises should be able to be given a repayment holiday of up to 12 months. We've also said that because all of us are government entities, we don't have the cost of capital, unlike the banks who must buy their currency from the Reserve Bank. We must give these loans at an interest rate of prime minus 3% across the board, regardless of the risk profile. But also to then say, let's accompany the funding with non-financial services like mentorship, things like market linkages, assisting to link young people with those who can buy what they're producing and whatever else. But what we have seen in the last 2 years of existence of this fund is that we have done a lot better when it comes to funding between up to 5 million rand, which is what we do through CIFA. With IDC, we fund up to 50 million rand. So we're spending more on the smaller, business ventures. We're not seeing the uptake that we desire to see from young people on businesses that require between 5 million and 50 million. And if we talk about transforming the economy and shifting the ownership of the economy to reflect the demographics of our country, and if we talk about economic freedom in the lifetime of the generation of young people today, we need to see more and more young people dreaming a little bit bigger. So what we're saying is that we're seeing some progress, but we're seeing progress more on the small scale type of entrepreneurship. It's encouraging because we believe that 3 years, 4 years, 5 years from now, these young people who are succeeding, the 53% that I spoke about, will probably graduate to be able to go into that space of 5 million to 50 million. But we would like to see a lot more activity even now so that we can be able to deal with these challenges of unemployment and poverty amongst young people.
You know, such a very interesting thing from what Mr. Katu is saying here, and it links so much to some of the things that you've been talking about. I don't know if maybe your colleague might be the one who might be the best to answer this, but, you know, it's just a question that came up from the top of my head. You're doing so much work with regards to the development of entrepreneurs. What Mr. Katu was talking about is that, you know, we've got so many entrepreneurs that would rather dab below 5 million or 2 million to start those small businesses. With the program that you guys, and in the initiative rather that you guys are running, GEDU, which is maybe allocating 500,000 procurement preference of below 500,000 to these township entrepreneurs. Are you finding that they, I mean, are they offering professional service? Are they coming up to the party, or is it just, you know, a big party or a hoo-ha over the fact that it's actually 500,000 and we are the ones who are the custodians of it?
Well, let's talk about outcomes of the previous financial year. Provincial government and municipal governments combined in the Gauteng space spent 6 billion rand of their procurement spend on procuring goods and services from township entrepreneurs. And that is an increase in 1 year. A sixfold increase in 1 year, because we were procuring about 1 billion in January last year. Wow. Now, I think that for us, the key thing that we've realized we must focus on is this thing of strategic sourcing. So we've got to sit down and say, at the moment, most of our township entrepreneurs are in the construction and maintenance space. But what else do we procure that lends itself to the small entrepreneur? Let me give you an example. We've got huge hospitals, Chris Hani Baragwanath, for example. They are buying thousands of loaves of bread every day. How do we facilitate the establishment, which is what MEC Maile is doing, of bakeries that we can procure bread from? I think one of the things that perhaps we would need to work much more closely with CIFA and the NYDA on is how do we absorb businesses that they are developing into our supply chain, and how do we take people that are in our supply chain and share those people with yourself so that you can look at supporting them, because what we're saying is that we're willing to buy goods and services from them. You know, you spoke about the very important issue of the loan repayments as one huge variable in success. I think the other variables in success is market access.
That's true.
And if we can solve that problem, it also ultimately gives some stability in the loan repayment conundrum. But I think also all of us have got to do more work with the private sector to enable the private sector to also take these emerging enterprises into their supply chains. Because at the end of the day, if all of these entrepreneurs are going to be looking at government, when the economy is not primarily in government hands, it's in the private space, I think that is where we would be making a mistake. So I think that one of the things we're trying to say, for example, to our provincial banker is, we've worked with these entrepreneurs, they can deliver on time, you can also work with them. And I think that we need to explore the question of market access in a more sustainable way.
You know, before I release you, MEC, I mean, what are some of the, are there any exciting programs that you guys are going to be running out there, that you guys are going to be initiating, that you'd like to share with us before you leave?
Well, I mean, I thought we should talk about this Step Up to a Start program, because in our DAV Center, our Design and Validation Center, that is where we will be taking the top 30 young people that come through that program and giving them an opportunity to have training on the 3D printing, to have a short course on video game design, but also to look at their own entrepreneurial activities and say how could they use ICTs to enhance their own entrepreneurial activity that they have designed.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of thing is important because unless youngsters from a school going age are introduced to the idea, first of all, of entrepreneurship as you raised earlier as a career option, but secondly, the magnitude of the ICT space as a career option. I think that really helps to point young people in the right direction. You know, up to now, school kids think that they must do computer programming in order to go into the ICT field. Whereas what we know is that where there are lots of growth opportunities is in the design of applications.
Yeah.
This innovation space is really something that's very important. And, you know, we're also working with the innovation hub in the city of Tshwane, where we are developing this concept of ICASI labs. And these ICASI labs are spaces that we're setting up in townships where we're running boot camps specifically to train young people on the concept of innovation, not necessarily in the ICT space, but I suppose most innovation today involves some component of ICT.
Mm.
But you know, I think these are some of the exciting programs. It is the intention of the Gauteng government early in October to try and host a mobile innovation lab conference where we can bring together a number of people who are working in this innovation space. So I think these are exciting things that are coming along.
Yeah, I'd really, really love to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us today. And I mean, I just want to, you know, emphasize that the work that you guys are doing is not going unseen. I mean, for instance, for someone like myself, who's a township entrepreneur, I mean, I've been an entrepreneur now for 10 years, started when I was 17 from my mom's garage. So you see now, when you hear of such innovations and such work that is being done, it's such a moving thing, because I've seen the move with ICASI Labs. We see the work that the guys at Prime Stars are doing with the Step Up to a Startup, and it's particularly phenomenal. And we just wanted to commend you and just, you know, give you a round of applause and thank you for doing the amazing work and continue. We'd like to encourage you and saying that please continue to spearhead innovation, e-government, entrepreneurship, and then build our city. We thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. So we're just going to break out for a couple of minutes and bidding our a beautiful MEC farewell, and join us in the next few minutes as we chat to a beautiful lady from CISWA IT.
360 Biz on cliffcentral.com.
So T, do you know that we host Motoring's biggest power hour?
Yes, I do.
And do you know that it's not just a show about cars, but it's a show that covers a host of relevant motoring topics?
Yes, I do.
And do you know that there are over 1 billion cars currently in use on Earth, and that the new car smell is composed of over 50 volatile organic compounds?
No.
Make sure you're up to speed with all things motoring by tuning into Auto Central every Monday morning at 9 a.m. just after the Gareth Cliff Show, or download the podcast on autotrader.co.za. Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour, powered by Auto Trader.
This is cliffcentral.com.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm sitting here with what do I call you? My mixer? My producer? No, my producer is over there at the back. She's looking beautiful with a nice bro. You would be my... This is like Pinky and the Brain. Technical. thank you guys for joining us yet again as we continue the discussion on entrepreneurial development. We've had some amazing insight from the MEC and also Mr. Carter shed light on some of the things which we'll be digging deeper into. But I'd like to just give platform to an amazing lady from CISWA Group. Lerato, just tell us a bit about yourself and what is CISWA Group? I mean, what do they do? I see them everywhere in orange, but I'm not sure. I see the IT to me goes as far as laptop technician. Just dig us deeper.
Okay, my name is Lerato, and I work for CISWA IT Group as a communications coordinator. I'm a mother to two girls, And I love being in the IT space. I really do. Because IT is an enabler. So we get involved in everything. IT goes beyond laptops and hardware. We are now moving into a space of applications, like the MEC mentioned, software. We're moving into something called Internet of Things, where we make the hardware talk to the software and it delivers more results, and it's quite exciting. It comes up in the movie that you can take hardware, software, and make it talk to each other. So it's quite exciting.
So I'd like to butt in here. I watched the movie, mm-hmm. of which I premiere at the end, and I close it off with my talk. But here's the thing. Just educate me. I mean, to someone who's out there, you said something there, and I think it's one of the pinnacle things that you guys are pushing at the moment, which is the Internet of Things. It sounds like such a casual term that I'd be using as slang. What is the Internet of Things?
Internet of Things, in a nutshell, I'm not a very technical person, but in a nutshell, it's software. It's software. It's applications that you use together with your hardware and infrastructure to make it together. It's like intelligent IT.
Yeah.
I think that's another way to put it. It's like intelligent IT where you have you can control things remotely. You can control things remotely. Mm. Yes. It sends information. I think there are a lot of solutions in the IoT space. It could be security reasons. It could be for security reasons. It could be for lighting, because we have a lot of increase on our grid, but then you could be switching off lights, sitting somewhere else while everyone is out in the office. It's for security reasons, where you can be locking doors, making sure that everyone is out of the building and no access card can work, and you can do that from your cell phone.
Wow, that is particularly phenomenal. Okay. And I mean, how important is it for entrepreneurs to jump into the technology space? Let me ask the question this way. Is the technology space open to young startups to jump in and, you know, implement their ideas?
It is open. It is open. The doors are open. And for me, it's quite exciting, because we want the innovations. You know, IT right now is about innovation. It's no longer just about getting that laptop there and the laptop does one thing. It's about innovation, and there is a lot of growth in the industry, in the IT industry, and we're looking for fresh ideas. We're looking for innovators, tomorrow's innovators. So youngsters must just get involved, and IT is an enabler. So with IT, you can't say it's one thing. It's not one stream, because we need IT in everything that we do. We need IT in hospitals. We need IT in the education space. So it's an enabler. We fit in everywhere. We fit in everywhere.
So in terms of the step up to a startup, and I mean, you know, I'd like to also, you know, in this question, it's a loaded question, because I'd like to also then touch on some of the other initiatives that you guys run. Now, in terms of the step up to a startup program, how do you guys fit in there? And how do you guys fit into the whole puzzle? And what are some of the programs you guys are running?
Okay, how we fit in is that we are an IT partner. One of the our objectives is to take this movie, because remember, the movie is shown at Stake and Echo Cinemas.
Yeah.
What about the learners in the remote areas? Hmm. Because they're not going to be able to go to the cinema and see the movie.
Yeah, that's true.
So our part there is to take this movie to the schools in the remote areas. We have issues also of internet connectivity when you get to remote areas. We are using ICT to take the movie to them, and we don't even need to be plugging in the internet, because we know it costs money. We know that we might have issues with the bandwidth, and that's where we play in. We will be assisting Primestars Marketing to take the movie to their remote areas. We have already identified a school in KZN. It's in Jozini. It's about 200 kilometers from Richards Bay. I've been there, and it's a very beautiful place, and we look forward to taking the movie to the learners there.
Selfishly so, I'd like to put in a request. Please bring it to Tembisa. So, I mean, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm from Tembisa. My company has been there now for the past 10 years, been running from Tembisa. So what was my mother's garage is now a whole huge office, and we've created employment for 11 young permanent people and 3 part-time. So what I love is the fact that, and just to top it off, I'm a beneficiary of the program. It's not the grant program from the NYDA, program. The voucher program. Yes. I got 3 vouchers. My first website came to these guys. I'm punting you because, I mean, you know, and I mean, it's amazing work that we've been doing. But, you know, the reason why it seems like I'm circling around the township in questions is because that's where I personally, I stand to be correct, just personally feel like it's one of the elements that we need to focus on in terms of entrepreneurship growth, of which you've named in your program that you guys are focused in. And Mr. Katu, they're doing a lot of work around that market. There was one talk I was doing once, and you know, studies show that we start businesses according to the level of our education. Now, I'm trying to tie it in with what Mr. Katu was saying. The reason why we start businesses according to the level of education. So 10 years ago, when I started a business, it was an internet cafe. And it made sense because that was the greatest challenge. That is all that I saw. And now you're getting into a space where you're sitting with a channel where you want to channel 50 to 100 million, but there are no entrepreneurs that are trying to enterprise to that level. I mean, even with technology and innovation, it is not a 100,000 or a 2 million business. It's way bigger than that in terms of the application and the development. I mean, 10 years ago, there was no Twitter. I don't believe there was Facebook. I mean, there was no Airbnb. There was no Uber. And those are applications that were based around innovation. And I believe that, you know, the township is one of the places where we'd be able to unearth some of the talent and some of the innovation. But the question that I'd like to now ask, and I'd like to direct this to you, Mr. Katu, is that in terms of some of the training programs and the mentorship and the what are some of the training or mentorship programs that you guys have? Because I know you guys have got particular programs to develop young entrepreneurs, startup entrepreneurs in this particular space.
Yeah. Look, excuse me, we have a bit of programs that we do in that space, and maybe just as a starting point, this is one of the interests that we had on the Step Up to a Startup program when Primestars presented it to us, because realistically, entrepreneurship activity is very low. In fact, the Global Economic Monetary Board for the last 3-4 years has been saying the same thing, that South Africa has the lowest entrepreneurship activity rate in sub-Saharan Africa, which is quite strange given that South Africa has the biggest economy in the African continent, which then tells you that the majority of young people are not actively involved in entrepreneurship, which is a sad state of affairs, because if you can talk about 22 years of democracy and you talk about a situation where black people and Africans in particular, a young child still dreams of going to school, get a better degree and get a better job, that situation is unsustainable for us as a country, because if we want to address the question of unemployment and poverty, we have to encourage our young people to think about being the employers of tomorrow. We have to encourage them to think about being the owners of the economy and not the consumers of the economy. So with that understanding, for one, we think that the Step Up to a Startup program creates or begin to instill that different kind of thinking amongst these school-going children whilst they're still young, that actually I can go to school, I can go to university, get the knowledge and the expertise that I can get from the academic world, and use it to start my own business, use it to become an employer, use it to become, you know, one of the listed companies in the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. So that's why on the side of this Step Up to Startup, why we thought or why we saw value in getting involved. But generally speaking, from an NYDA perspective, we have enterprise development programs. One of them is the entrepreneurship awareness program. Here we do what similarly to what we're doing through the Step Up to a Startup campaign, but here we go out to communities, we engage with young people, we tell them about entrepreneurship, we tell them about entrepreneurship as an alternative to employment. And once we see that, or we find those that show interest in entrepreneurship, then we take them through a more structured enterprise development training program. That's where we now delve a little bit deeper into how do you go about registering a business? Mm. How do you go about managing the day-to-day business so that, you know, you understand that you have to open, for an example, a bank account of the business. You have to pay yourself a salary. You don't hear that, you know, there's a party somewhere on Saturday. You go to the bank account of the business, you withdraw there so that you can get a few drinks and whatever. True. So we teach those basics. And then beyond that, we'll then assist with a program that you have mentioned, the voucher program, where, for an example, we will then assist you as a young person to go and register your business with CIPC. We would pay for that. And then we'll also assist with things like, you know, paying for the development of your business plan, and then we then further then you know, can take you to our grant funding program if you are starting at the level of our grant funding program. If not, we then link you to other development finance institutions, like I spoke about the relationship we have with CIFA, where we can fund up to 5 million, the relationship with IDC, where we can fund up to 15 million. So broadly speaking, we are taking the awareness issue very serious, so that we can begin to change the mindset of these young people, so that they can think of entrepreneurship as the future, because indeed it is the future. I mean, you make examples of, you know, innovative programs like Uber, Facebook, Twitter, and so forth and so forth. That's where the future is. You know, young people must be thinking about social entrepreneurship even. Mm-hmm. How do we make the lives of people in our own communities better whilst making money, developing our communities, developing our country, growing the economy, empowering ourselves social and economically? So that's where we're playing that space in.
Now, you know, in terms of the program that now, Lerato, I'd like to throw this your way. Now, in terms of the program that you guys are running with regards to entrepreneurial development, could you tell us a bit about that and what goes into the whole program?
Okay. I think it's very important also to outline that the business model, CISO's business model, is based on SMEs. So we have a footprint in every province. We have offices in every province. And those people who are there, the business that are there, they were brought in on the enterprise development program as SMEs. Right now, they are subsidiaries. And they've grown so big that sometimes they are competitors for some of the contracts. And we have a very formalized enterprise development program where we look at how to build a business plan, a viable business plan. We're talking about financial management. We're talking about marketing. And as MEC had mentioned, that it is very important that we look at how they access the market. So we have all that. We're looking at assisting them run their business until they're at a point where they are confident and skilled enough to run their own businesses, where we've helped them with their back end, your HR, your finances. So we have a very formalized enterprise development program. And we take on different SMEs based on our business needs, based on our clients' needs. Because we don't want to be taking on SMEs every year or at any given point while we don't know what we are going to do with the SMEs afterwards. Because it is very important that we start from point A and then we get to a point where now we're saying they need to be making money. Once the contracts are coming in, what are we doing to support them? Get their websites running, profile them, because it is very important that they should not be looking at one stream of income. For example, we cannot be focusing only on being reactive and waiting for tenders, you know, to be out. And we understand even the cycle, the sales cycle has increased. So what are we doing in the meantime? That's why we saying to them, we are going to be proactive. We are going to look into doing lead generation campaigns with you. We are going to be profiling you. So we have looked at that. We have looked at how we support them from point A and until where they can stand on their own and they continue the cycle. Because for us, it's very important that once you've been through the program, you need to be giving back to society in some way. And transferring skills is very important. We see it with one of our SMMEs in Cape Town, in the Western Cape, Mantella IT. Mantella IT, they've grown so big right now. They are our competitor in most of the contracts in the Western Cape. What they have started doing is that they train IT specialists from disadvantaged backgrounds, because they've been through that and they got the support, so now they're moving on and training others. So it's a cycle, and we need to keep the world moving.
Now, Mr. Katsu, you touched on the importance of social entrepreneurship. I mean, how is this approach when you speak English and English runs away? Yeah. I want to say it in Zulu. I'm lying, I can't say it in Zulu. But I mean, how is this approach opposed to the conventional, just being an entrepreneur, capitalist? Yeah. I mean, how is this more important, being a social entrepreneur?
Look, I mean, I think it's more important because generally, we must all of us accept and understand that we're here for a time period. We will pass, and future generations will come. And I think that all of us must be able to accept that we have to hand over this planet better than what we found it. Today, I think we're doing more damage to it than what we found. What we found it, if you look at issues of, general pollution that is happening across the world, and things like that. So when you begin to talk about social entrepreneurship, you talk about an entrepreneurship which is primarily founded, as much as it's about, profit maximization, as any other business is, but it's also more founded on the question of what is it that we can do to better our communities or to better our country. Let's take for an example. You stay in Tembisa, yes. Right? You know that every Monday in local clinics, old people must go and collect their diabetes medicine, right? They must travel long distances, maybe be on taxis, they're not comfortable, they're sick and whatever else. You can easily say that I will start a business where I'll hire some guys and we'll get bicycles or scooters, right? You come to NYDA, we'll buy you a couple of scooters, we'll buy you a couple of bicycles through our grant funding program. You begin to go and collect those medication every Monday for those old people, and you deliver it to their homes, and maybe they pay you like $10 for doing that. You have solved a community problem. You have made your community a better place, but at the same time, you are enterprising it. You are able to address your economic status. You're able to create jobs. You're able to contribute in the growth of the economy. So, and those are things that we need to start thinking about. Uber is a perfect example. I mean, the speed at which you can get to move from point A to point B has been improved dramatically so, just because of an innovative idea. It makes society works better. And there are many other ideas that can work like that. For our part, as the NYD, we have a program that we call Community Development Facilitation Program, where we go out of our way to go to communities and try and identify available economic opportunities that exist in that particular environment. And then we try and guide young people or channel young people towards taking advantage of those opportunities. So we will train these young people on those opportunities that are there. We will then assist them to register themselves, businesses, whether it be cooperatives. We'll train them, we'll capacitate them, or we will even give them the grant that we have. Or if that business opportunity requires a little bit more, we'll then link them with those who can assist them.
Now, it's so fascinating because you've got such an immense passion for the development of people and entrepreneurship. Are you an entrepreneur? Because you've got this amazing passion. I mean, I've seen you on a lot of platforms and you speak with so much detail, but you're not speaking from a detail-oriented perspective where someone drew up your facts, but you really know them and you speak with so much passion. I mean, are you an entrepreneur?
I think there's an entrepreneur inside me who's crying to come out.
just hypothetically, just to lighten up the mood, hypothetically, if you had to be an entrepreneur, any industry, which industry would you be in?
Look, I'm passionate about wildlife. I think that if I were to study business today, I'll probably be going into wildlife gaming.
Wow.
A lodge type of a situation. The hospitality industry in that space, because I'm passionate about it. I strongly believe that you stand a better chance to succeed as an entrepreneur when you are doing something you are passionate about, because what I know about business, and this is an experience that I've gone through, I've seen so many people who have come through our doors, so many people that have come to us for advice, is that in business you must be prepared. I mean, MEC said it, to fall. And you may fall not once, a couple of times, but you must always be ready to stand up and dust yourself off and run again. But you need the passion.
Yeah.
Because if it's about the money, when it's not coming, you will leave it and you will not succeed. So passion is very important.
I would have never thought gaming lodge. I can just almost see you with the khaki shorts, the brown boot.
Yes.
So, I mean, Lerato, I mean, just the same question to you. I mean, are you an entrepreneur?
I think we all have that little thing in us.
What industry, what business, what would you be doing?
Hospitality, food.
Wow, okay.
I'm a foodie.
I used to think I was a foodie, but I look at your body, I look at mine. Mine is a clear evidence that I'm the real foodie here. You know, here's a direction I'd now love to take a turn in. You spoke about passion. And I mean, how important is it for an entrepreneur, Lerato, to have passion? Because, you know, you just then spoke back to the passion that you have about this. Because most of the time, I feel like we give generic advice to people to then say that, no, if you love it, go that way. If you feel like you're more equipped, more you learn it, go that way. But I think that, I mean, for the first 6 years of my business, I was making anything between 180 Rand to about 480 per week. There was no money. I was on a deficit. I mean, I was on a minus all the time. And I mean, it's only now that things started to take a new shape. We became an agency that was still in the township proudly, because I believe in this notion that 40, 50 years ago, Sandton was just a bush, but today it's regarded as the richest square mile in Africa. And I believe personally that the next richest square mile is in townships, because a township is only a township by states of labeling. How important is it to have passion in what you do?
It is very, very important, because I always say, the MEC said it, that not everyone is going to be an entrepreneur. However, we are all entrepreneurs, even sitting in our own spaces in the corporate world where you are, because you want to be valuable, because that you want to be bringing skills that are also rare. Passion is very, very important. I mean, it has been outlined that you will fail. Money won't come in. So you need that passion to keep you going. However, that's why we have these formalized programs in place, so that when the passion is still going, keeping you going, we're also holding your hand to say, let's look at this. Let's look at that. This is not working. If this is not working, let's move along to this one, because we have to try different things. However, when you are not passionate about something, you will give up. You will definitely give up, because it is just giving you headaches. We are not getting anywhere. And in entrepreneurship, we also need to understand that, yes, there will be failures, and that we need to be learning from those failures. And we need to, for you to be successful as an entrepreneur, I'm sure you know this, is that you need that passion. You need the support. You need the support, and then you need to be in a position of being accepting to changes and to criticism, to say this is constructive criticism, you know, to move along. So I think for me, passion is very important. I'm passionate about this program that we are doing, because we're taking it to the remote areas, and I'm passionate about the boot camp that will come up in towards end of November, of those learners, the business ideas, the top, I think it's top 9 teams. They'll be coming down, and we'll have a technology day with them, where we will be doing Internet of Things. So if you are interested, please come through.
It'll be nice. Is this for the step up to a startup?
Yes.
So I know that I'm emceeing the awards.
Okay.
So it's before. It's not the awards.
It's not the awards.
Okay.
Remember, they will choose the top 9 or 10 teams from around SA, and then they will have a 3-day boot camp, And one of those days is going to be a technology day that we will be hosting. So we will be drilling into Internet of Things, what, so that the learners can understand it and understand that IT will take their business idea further, because that's the excitement for us to be involved in this program. It's about that we bring in IT as well into their business, you know.
I think you know, one of the biggest, the thing is, I love developing people, and I'm very passionate with the work that I do. I'm very passionate about the development of people, and to have two amazing people, three with the MEC sitting here in studio with me, who are not doing your job, but you guys, it seems like you're doing what you love. Because I mean, there's so much joy, there's so much smiles moving around, and that's something very impactful. And I'm definitely gonna take Mr. Katu up on the offer. Because what we do, what my company does as a social responsibility, is that I run an initiative in the townships called T. So it's Township Entrepreneur Alliance. And once a month, every third Saturday of the month, we get entrepreneurs together and we develop them. And my company funds that. And we need funding to make it bigger and better. But, you know, we've been running up for a year and 4 months, and we've been able to develop 1,600 entrepreneurs, bringing in highly ranked entrepreneurs and speakers into the township. Now, in closing it up, now we normally close it up true 360 biz style. Just words of encouragement, a minute or 30 seconds or however long. No, well, not too long. Check out, she goes. But words of encouragement to a young person out there who wants to jump into entrepreneurship, or one who is in entrepreneurship and they're stuck. They don't know what to do and they keep failing. They keep hitting a ceiling. Just whatever it is that is in your heart.
If you have an idea, go out there. Don't sit with your idea. There are a lot of agencies that can assist you. Look for information. You know, we love Google. Google, there are agencies that will be able to assist you. If you are stuck, ask. I always say to people that there is information, but we just don't ask. Ask the right questions, and there's no stupid question. If you don't know where funding is, there is funding out there. We have a lot of agencies that can help with funding. And do what you love. Do what you love. Just do what you love. And it's very important that element is there also, because it helps you succeed, because it doesn't feel like work. Like you said, it doesn't feel like work. And make a difference. It's very important to give back to our communities. Make a difference.
Thank you, Lerato. Mr. Katu, in shutting it down.
Yeah. No. I mean, what I would say to young people out there, aspiring entrepreneurs, is that... excuse me, the reality of it is that impossible is nothing. It's always impossible until it's done. And the sky is not the limit. As a young person, you are limitless. If you can dream it, you can be it. If you can think it, you can be it. And again, information is out there, assistance is out there. Just step up and ask.
Thank you very much, guys, for tuning in. My name is Bulelani Balabala. Make sure that you go out there, young entrepreneurs, and get things done. Let nothing stand in your way. Go out there and achieve. Make more sales, clinch more deals, build the economy, and be a social entrepreneur. Thank you.
This is cliffcentral.com.